a blessing to see your wonderful faces, see people going on with the Lord, trusting in the Lord, regardless of what happens. Praise the Lord. Our God is a faithful God. Praise the Lord. We're going to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. Brother Zielinski was speaking from Matthew. We're not avoiding Paul's epistles. We're just bringing what the Lord gave us. So let's go to chapter 24. And I've preached on Matthew 24 quite a few times. But one of the things that the Lord's really impressing with me in my mind and heart is the nearness of the coming of Jesus. And oh my, I know he's going to come soon. I have never seen things in the United States happen and all over the world like they have in these last few years. It's just terrible, the disasters and all the things that people are going through. And I know that our God is working his plan. There's going to come a time when it's going to be enough. The Lord's going to say, it's time for Jesus to go. And we're believing that. So let's ask the Lord to bless the word to our hearts right now. Father, we just thank you for the word of God, which is so real and living to us, Father, that, oh, we are blessed and we are quickened by the Spirit of God, by your word, oh, Father, because we know the word of God is true and we rest on it, dear Lord. We know that your coming is at hand and we are believing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Quicken this word to us today, we pray, Lord. In Jesus' holy name, glory to God. This 24th chapter of Matthew, Jesus began to explain to the disciples different things that were going to happen in the end time. They didn't know, you know, of course, they didn't want Jesus to go away. They didn't really understand at this chapter that he was going to be crucified and be put in a grave and then be resurrected and then the church age would start. They really didn't understand those things. And so they asked him, they wanted to know what is going to happen. And we're going to read with verse 3 of chapter 24. It says, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And it could be translated this way, that's the proper, the consummation of the age. When shall be the consummation of the age? We live in the grace age, don't we? But there's going to be soon an end. And we see, if we're walking with God today and walking in the Spirit, you can't help but see all around us the things that are happening in this world, the different disasters, the different just nonsensical things that people are doing and going through in this world today. And we know that his coming is very, very near. So the three questions are this: when shall these things be? We know when these things are going to be. They're going to be during the tribulation time. They're going to be after Jesus comes back for his bride. They're going to be until he comes back again in power and great glory. So all these things are going to happen very, very soon. And then what shall be the sign of thy coming? Well, he's certainly given us enough word of God for us to know what's going to happen before Jesus Christ comes back again. There are signs of the times. We study that a lot, don't we? We have for years. For years, we've studied about Jesus coming back. Now, are we to be discouraged because he hasn't come back all this time? No. Because God is very long-suffering, isn't he? And he's working in people. There are people still being saved in many places. But the Lord is working, and so he gives us signs of his coming. And I really believe this tornado thing that happened, this was so severe, so severe. Lately, a lot of different things have been happening that are kind of unusual. And we need to realize that God is giving us signs. We can't compare what happens right now with what's going to happen in the tribulation when the 7 years come. It's going to be horrific. When you think about the water drying up and the ocean becoming, you know, filthy and all the things in it dying and be blood on things all over. We just can't imagine that. Praise the Lord that we're redeemed, that we're saved, and we are, even if we're not in the first company that goes, we're going to be in the second company. So, you know, praise God for that. We're not going to have to go through that entire 7 years of judgment that is going to be horrible. So we need to watch with our eyes, and that's what Paul teaches us. You know, he says to remember this and seek after this, that the signs of the times are all around us, that his coming is very, very near. And then that last question, what shall be the end of the world? Mankind is so afraid of what might happen in this world. You know, they're really, really afraid. That's why they keep talking about all of this stuff that our president now is trying to dictate to us, that we have to do this or we have to do that. They're afraid of what might happen to end this world. And we know it's going to happen. It's going to happen. The Word of God is absolutely true. And we believe that Word of God, don't we? So when is it going to happen? Well, you know, after Jesus' time, the temple was destroyed in 71 A.D., and God allowed that temple to be demolished, and many were slain. It was terrible. Titus, the son of the emperor at that time, came down and just made havoc of Israel, didn't they? And they were scattered all over the world. But we know that now we are living in the last day of our time, and we can see many signs and many things that are happening in the world. Praise the Lord. But we know that his coming is soon. We know that. I hope that everyone here today could say, I positively know that Jesus is coming very, very soon. Praise the Lord. What shall be the sign of your coming? Praise the Lord. When shall all of these things be? That's the first one. When shall they be? Our lives today should be yielded to God and watching and waiting for the coming of Jesus. The promise is that those that watch and wait for him will be taken. And so that's what we want to do, is to watch and wait for Jesus. The second thing that he asks is about the signs, and we've just speaking about that, how many signs have happened in just the latter days here, the few days in the past here. All of my life I've heard about the coming of the Lord. That was how I got saved when I was 5 years old. My father preached on the mark of the beast, and my mother had always read the scripture to us, and I guess probably I knew the Lord before that, but boy, when I heard about the mark of the beast, I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to be here at the tribulation. And I knelt down all by myself at the back of our church and prayed the Lord would save me. Isn't that beautiful that God can save a child? God can save an adult, can save an old man. There was a man here in this town who we didn't even know that knew the Lord or anything. His wife came to meeting here. Sister Val used to be in our meeting. She's gone to be with the Lord. They asked Roy to go over and speak to this man because he's on his deathbed and he didn't know the Lord. And Roy went over there and he told him, talked to him again. He had heard the message many, many times, but he had never received it. And Roy did that, and the man received Christ just before he passed to be with the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful thing, to know that the Lord gives us that opportunity? So there are many signs right now in the world that the Lord is saying, be ready, be watchful, I'm coming. And many of us have heard this message since we were children. But you know what? It's more real right now than it ever has been. He is coming, and it's going to be soon. And then the last thing there that he asked, and the end of the world. When will the consummation of the age come? And we see so much going on in this world right now that it doesn't seem like impossible at all, the way that we are going. We don't know what's going to happen with China and Russia and all these people that look like we're going to have war again and all this. But, you know, we do not have to be fearful, because we are the children of the living God. And he's going to take care of all of this. Whatever is to be in this world will be. But he's going to take care of every bit of it. Praise the Lord. We can have assurance in that. You know what? The scripture says that he which has begun the good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Many of us have asked Jesus to work in our lives to make us ready for the coming of Jesus. And you know, he is a faithful Lord. He is working. He is doing that job all the time. All the tests and all the trials that we go through, Jesus is right there working. He's working and working, giving us victory over situations that we just think we cannot stand. Have you ever been in that? Where you think, I can't stand this anymore. I think the Lord may kind of grin, because he knows we can't. He knows that he has to give us that strength to be an overcomer, to be watching and waiting for Christ. Praise the Lord. We're going to turn now on over to Aaron, Matthew 24 to verse 36. And there's so much in this chapter, and most of you have studied it and been taught it. I know I've taught it before when I was teaching the book of Matthew way back. But this is the truth. In verse 36, he says, "But of that day," now this is still Jesus speaking, "of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." And so there's no one that on the earth that can, and there have been people that have tried this, to say, on such and such a date, Jesus is going to come. And that date went by and nothing happened, you know. So that isn't the truth. No one knows the time of Jesus Christ coming again. But the Lord God himself and his not even the angels are aware of when that's going to happen. And then he says in verse 37, "As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and he knew not until the flood came and took them all away. And so also is the coming of the Son of Man." I was thinking about that the other day, about how many died in the case of that flood of Noah. Thousands and thousands. Can you imagine if only 8 people were left of all the people in the earth that is right now? We know there are going to be more than that, because there are more believers than that, even in this day. And there are many overcomers that are going to be taken away and not even be here for the tribulation. Praise the Lord. We also have in verse 32, and all of us, I think everybody here has heard this and is been well-versed in it, so I'm not telling you anything new, but notice in verse 32, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise you, when you shall see all of these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." And many people believe, and I believe it, but some don't, that when the Jews in 1948 became a nation and they got back in their land, and ever since, you know, there's been so much trouble there, yet this is a sign to us that when Israel would put forth leaves again and this thing would happen, that it would not be very long until the coming of Jesus, that the king would come. And, you know, it's been quite a while, hasn't it? 1948. I was 8 years old then. And the Lord has all of these years, we have looked for the coming of Jesus, watched for the coming of the Lord. And I hope that all of us just keep on watching, just keep on looking, even though it may seem like a long time to wait. He's going to come, and he's going to come. Many people say this generation, the generation that was alive in 1948, or what people interpret that to mean. But God knows, because there are many of the saints going home, aren't they? They're going home. They're being taken from this life. But praise the Lord that these things are going to be fulfilled right on God's time, right on God's timing. Praise the Lord. So in verse 34, where it says, this generation will not pass till all of these things be fulfilled. And of course, we know that when Jesus is speaking to the disciples, he's talking about things that are going to happen to them. And they did. Right there at that time, they had terrible trouble when the persons from Rome, all the armies were already there, but they came and just destroyed the temple and all of the things. But they mean a lot to us today also. All right. Then I just was going to quote this to you. I will read it to you. Mark 11:13. Seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. And the next day, the tree, of course, he cursed that tree, and that tree was dried up. So that's speaking of Israel, and we were just talking about how God has been dealing with Israel, brought them back to their land, and there are Christians in Israel that are preaching the word of God. Many are receiving Christ over there. So this is all true by the word of God. We see what his word says. He'll find them. They'll finally, during the tribulation, finally, many of them will believe. And at the last, they will definitely believe. Praise the Lord. So he warns them in let's look back at verse 4 of this chapter. We're kind of skipping around. Okay, we're going to go back to chapter 24, verse 4. Jesus answered and said, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, and saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see that you be not troubled or frightened, for all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. A nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All of these are the beginnings of sorrows. And I was thinking about all this, and I thought, Lord, you know, you've said all of these things to us, and yet it has been so long that we have heard the message, so long that your coming was so near. He doesn't tell us when it's going to be. Do you think that if he would have said on Christmas 25, you know, December 25th, 2021, I'm going to come back again. Do you think that would have made a big difference with people? Probably not. They probably wouldn't have believed it. So he does not tell us when it's going to be, but he tells us there are going to be signs of things happening in this world that are going to show that the time is short. And this world is just in chaos right now with this COVID virus and this other new virus now has come along, this third one. All of this, people are just so confused and so not turning to God, not trusting in God, always just so fanatic and so eager to get shots in everybody and everything like that. And that's up to each individual. But I just... And you can just see how that all of these things happen and are as signs to us, and yet many people are asleep. Many people don't even know Christ, but many who are born again are asleep and can't even see that the times, these signs of the times. Famine and pestilence, scarcity of food, that's happening in the world and will more as time goes on. earthquakes and all of these things, these are just the beginning of sorrows, the beginning of the earth pangs, of the birth pangs of the earth. The Lord is going to come and he's going to renovate and change everything. But let's go down to verse 10 here. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And of course, we know that when the Antichrist comes and the mark of the beast, there are going to be many, many people that take that mark because they don't want to be persecuted and slain and beheaded and all of that they're going to do. But there are going to be many others who stand up for the word of God. That's coming. And notice in verse 11, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. These things have been for some time. There are many false prophets and false teachers in the word of God, and of the word of God in this age right now we live in. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That's one of the things that we pray about a lot. In the original, it says the cold heart represents unfeeling, unsympathetic, and sometimes cruel. That's what it means. So because the Lord is coming so soon, we need to be on fire for the Lord. We need not be those that have waxed cold. We know that happens because we know of individuals that just kind of go away and you wonder, you know, what are they doing now? Why are they not coming to meeting? Why are they not yielding to God? And it happens. And it's a sorrow to our hearts, but it's a greater sorrow to the Lord, isn't it? And notice in verse 13, he says, he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. He's speaking of the tribulation time. And so it's going to be hard. And when the tribulation starts, it's going to be a very hard situation. Praise God that God is leading us and showing us that his coming is very, very near. We're going to go on over now to verse 42 of this chapter. And we know now, I know the teaching. I know that this can all be, pertaining to the tribulation time and all of this, and those that will be here and the Jews and all of this. But I really feel that the Lord puts these scriptures in here to speak to our hearts too. And that verse 42 says, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come." And that's one thing that the Lord did not do. He did not give us a date. He did not give us a time that we were going to be able to just say, okay, he's going to be here right away, such and such a date. And so we have to keep watching. We have to keep waiting. We can't let up our desire to be ready for the coming of Jesus. It has to be all the time, fully walking with God and yielding to God and being ready for the coming of Jesus. He says, "For you know not what hour your Lord doth come." And that's just so true, isn't it? "And know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up." You know, there's several other scriptures in the Bible, even in Paul's gospel, where he says that the Lord will come as a thief in the night. That's a phrase that is used several times. I think Peter and Paul both have that phrase in them. And so you know how the thief does. He comes in to steal the most precious things. Jesus Christ is going to come and take away his bride, the people who are fully walking and yielding to God and following his will in their lives. And so we need to be ready. Again, he says in verse 44, be ready. Be ready. The word means to be prepared or adjusted. Are you adjusted yet? Have you been adjusted by the Lord? We were not adjusted, were we, before we knew the Lord? But then he has worked in our lives and we have become adjusted in the word, adjusted to the things of the Lord. And we don't want to let up on that in this latter day, but be faithful and yielded and watching for this coming, because he's going to come at any time. Watch, be alert, keep awake, be vigilant. Praise the Lord, because the good man of the house is going to come one of these days and gather together those that are watching. Praise the Lord. He doesn't want everybody that won't. He doesn't want it to happen this way. He's made provision for us that everyone can leave that first time he calls. But not all will yield to God. Not all will surrender their all to the Lord and be ready and be actually watching every day for the Lord to come. So praise the Lord that he works in us. Glory to God. We need to be watching, be vigilant and watchful. Praise the Lord. Verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant to whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. And so he's going to come, as he says in verse 40, be ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. And those who are yielding their lives to God and are showing forth the word of truth to others, they're going to be rewarded for all of their hard work and their hard times. We don't like trials, do you? I don't like being ill. I don't like for my family to be ill. But you know, those times are what really draws us closer to the Lord, closer to Jesus. That's what is going to be what he's going to make that judgment about. How close are we really to Jesus? How much do we really walk with God and yield to God? Are we ready? If he would come right this second, are we ready for the coming of Jesus? That's going to be the question. Praise the Lord. Praise God. He is a faithful ruler. That faithful and wise servant. He's a faithful ruler, trustworthy. He wants us to be that way, taking responsibility for our family's natural and spiritual needs. That's what he wants. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Verse 46 says, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find him so doing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The word servant, we see that often in the Bible, but you know the word is actually slave. In the original, it's slave. Do you like to be a slave of the Lord? Sounds nicer, doesn't it, say servant. But you know, if we're a slave of the Lord, he's our all in all. We want to do exactly what he asks us to do. We want to go where he wants us to be. We want his will above everything else in our life. We're going to be greatly rewarded because being subject to our Lord, our Master, is a really important thing. It's important. Praise the Lord. He's called the Lord here. And the word Lord means supreme authority, Master, Controller. Master, Controller. These great big companies that have great big computer systems, they have master controllers that do all of that, keep everything going exactly right. That's what he is. He's a master controller of us. And we have to let him do that because when we rebel against him, he can't really do his work in us. But if we really submit to his will and let him control our life, we're going to be greatly blessed, won't we? Praise the Lord. We're going to read another scripture in Colossians 4. Let's go to Colossians, the fourth chapter. Aren't we glad we have Paul's gospel? My Bible's getting worn out, and the pages don't want to come apart. That's okay. All right, chapter 4, we're going to look at verse 2. Just a simple verse. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Watch. Continue in prayer and watch. He says that, Paul says that quite often in different places about our watchfulness. It's time for the Lord to come, and we see it. All these things happening, they're all signs. God is trying to stir people. They will turn to the Lord for their needs. Just to hear about that, that town over there in Kentucky being so demolished, and all of those people just inside of that workplace, it looks like all of them are dead. I think it was 50-something people or more. All, they think they're all gone. Isn't it something? The trials, the tests of this life are so extreme, it seems like. But God is trying to wake people up. And yet, you know what they say? Oh, it's a problem with our weather. You know, we got to get our weather under control and everything. But it's not the weather. It's the Lord. He's trying to speak to mankind that. And what do we do then? Do we just give up and say, well, what use, you know? No, we should continue in prayer, continue yielding to the Lord, and continue watching all the time for the Lord to come. Keep on watching. Another verse we won't turn to, but it's 1 Thessalonians 5:6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. This is serious. It's gotten to the point now where I really believe that his coming is so near, even at the door, anytime. So all of us, I hope all of us will realize that and say, nothing is compared with the Lord. Jesus should be number one. Jesus should be first in our life, and his coming. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch you, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. That quit you like men is often kind of a, well, what does it mean there? Quit you like men, quit acting like men, what does that mean? But it actually, in the original, means act manly. It's speaking of growth. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, stand up. Be counted. Be ready for the coming of Jesus. We've heard this message all our lives, some of us. Some of us, most of us, have heard this message all our lives. Jesus Christ is coming soon, and it's more so every day. Oh, my goodness, just more every day. We see that these are the last days God is dealing. Praise the Lord.